It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions!
You're listening to the best of the Lions.
Oh, baby, how beautiful is that?
A weekly mix of 97.1, the Ticket's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
He said it to us last week. Shoes! Being prepared for the elements. Dan, good morning. How satisfying was the execution outdoors in Green Bay?
Yeah, very satisfying. And the coaches, the players did a great job just on that. I mean, I know we all laugh about it. It's a big thing, though. And our guys were in the right shoes. We kept our footing. I thought we played clean football in an unclean environment. I mean, that was, you know, you're in the elements. And we handled it well. I was proud of them. That's a good win.
Is there anything you did during the week to prepare for having a wet football or the field the way it was?
Yeah, we drenched the footballs all week. I mean, that's I told Goff on Wednesday, I said, man, we're going to have our trainers are going to douse them with the Gatorade bottles before every snap. So we douse them every period. We had a wet ball for group, for individual, for all the team periods. That's how we functioned. We didn't wet the field, but we had the wind, which was great, especially Thursday, man. It was humming out there. So we really got the elements. The only thing, we didn't get the precipitation coming down, but we did have wet ball and we did have the wind and we were outside. So it was awesome.
This team has a laser focus at 7-1. Dialed in for Dallas, no letdown with the Hutch injury. You guys didn't overlook Tennessee and then obviously ready for the weather. Where does that level of focus come from?
Well, I think we're a more mature team. You know, remember now our vets are guys who've been here. You know, the core of this team are guys who've been here for really going on 4 years, and we've added on that, you know. Even our next guy, you know, Kirby and those guys now are becoming vets. And so we do things. We haven't changed the way we do things over a number of years. We're just getting more mature. We're growing up. And these guys are able to just look at what's right in front of them and focus on that. And when you do that, then you can most of the time alleviate some of the ups and downs that come with a season. That's not perfect. There's nothing easy about it, you know. And honestly, the more you win, the harder it gets. So, but we're in a good place right now.
I mean, coaches always say this. We've heard you say it in terms of games that you bury an opponent. There's opportunities or there's points left on the field. When you look at this team, coming off of the run that you've been on, coming off of Dallas, coming off of Tennessee, and obviously the trip to Green Bay, where can this team continue to get better?
Yeah, well, look, I think there's – I know Ben and I were talking yesterday. There's elements of what we did in the second half, you know, that minus that opening drive, which was huge, you know, coming out of the third quarter – take it all the way down there and finish with a touchdown, man. That was huge. But yet, man, after that, until we were able to close the game out, you know, our defense really man, they hung in there, and they didn't allow a touchdown. You know, they didn't allow a score for a long time. But there, we had a number of three and outs. You know, got a first down. Then we go three and out after that. You know, we just couldn't continue to get the first downs and move the ball. You know, we took care of it, which is great. But you'd like to believe, you know, you can take control of that game a little bit sooner than it happened. So those are little things that, man, we really believe we can get better at. And then defensively, man, I think AG and those guys are we're playing outstanding ball, man. And the critical factors, the third down, the red zone, you know, limiting points, the whole thing, takeaways, one of them for a touchdown. But it's like, man, we had a couple of critical penalties, you know, that hurt us, man. We're off the field if we just take care of those things, which are, you know, that's truly self-induced. So we got areas to clean up, but I love the way we play, man. I love how we challenge. I love that we're aggressive, you know, and look, special teams, those elements are great for Bates, you know, like to go in and get in that environment and have to kick with the wind behind you, in front of you, crosswind, rain. Man, I thought he did a hell of a job and learned from that, you know. And so there's just these things, man, we'll just continue to get better and learn from.
Talking to Lions head coach Dan Campbell. Brian Branch, we've raved about him with you. I don't think he's a dirty player, but do you worry that he picks up a reputation now with a couple of these helmet-to-helmet penalties? It seemed like they wanted to make an example of him last Sunday.
No, I mean, I don't worry about that. I don't know why he would pick that up. I mean, he plays football. He's a football player. He plays the style that we're looking for. He's got to lower the target. Like, that's the thing, and he knows that, you know. And honestly, look, you're going to get the flag. You're going to get, you know, he's probably going to get fined for it. That's part of it. And you don't want it. But, man, once you've deployed your artillery, man, you're not pulling it back. I mean, that's, you know. And funny enough, I've seen guys who have tried to pull back, keep from hurting somebody that have two different times tore the meniscus in their knee, trying to jab their knee in the ground to stop from going, you know. But I think that, you know, we got to lower the target for him. And the big thing is, man, the penalty after that, that's what he and I talked about. It's like, man, you can't give him the 15 after that. And so just lower it, go through the sternum, don't, you know, try to lower it a little bit. He was just a little bit high. So, but he'll be fine, man. He plays an aggressive style, and he's a hell of a player. He's a hell of a safety. And no, he's not a dirty player.
I'm sure you'll be happy for 401 when the conversation shifts from what are you guys going to do at the trade deadline? You addressed it yesterday. We've asked you about it for a couple of weeks. First of all, any chance you have any breaking news you want to share with us? And if not, what's it like leading into today, where I know players are going to be around, but it's typically a day off of trying to navigate the trade deadline?
This is business as usual, honestly. It's, I mean, me personally, I'm trying to get ready for Houston. And then if Brad's got anything that he wants to share with me or wants me to look at, then he will. And tell them, man, I trust him. He's been grinding through this. He knows what he's doing, and if it works out, great. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But it's like the thought of giving away high capital for a player none of us are going to like, that just doesn't sit well with any of us. So, man, if it makes sense, it makes sense. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But, you know, what we got here, we'll win with.
So, like, 3 o'clock, you're not poking in the office going, we have anything? Like, what's your message to Lion fans who are going to be refreshing their phone all day today hoping to see Brad deliver somebody?
I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I get ready for Houston, you know. It's about the matchups, about the one in front of you. And you may be waiting for a while. You may not. But just know that there's work being put in this, and it's been going on for a long time. So we'll be good. We'll be just fine.
You get Jameson Williams back. That'll be a nice addition for the Houston game. With the issues he's had, when you've talked to him, does it seem like he's responded well to all this, that he's going to be able to move forward and avoid some of the issues he's had?
Who's that? I'm sorry.
Jameson Williams.
Yeah, I feel great. I feel great about him. I feel like, you know, Man, he's been here. He was here last week. He was in meetings, man. He couldn't be out on the field, but he's been working out. He's been training. He's been running. Like I say, he was in meetings. So he's been locked in. It almost feels like he hadn't been gone other than game day. So that's awesome. And I feel like he's just going to pick up where he left off and then some. He's just going to continue to grow. So, man, I feel good about where he's going to be, where he's at, and where he's going to go.
Dan, I hate to do this to you. Ian Rappaport is reporting, verified Ian Rappaport, that the Browns are trading Za'Darius Smith to the Lions. Can you comment on that?
Well, Ian's got all the answers, doesn't he?
Apparently.
Well, you'd hate it if Ian was wrong, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I would.
Well, we actually would.
Yes. Okay, we'll take that. Yeah. That's all we can get. John, you have something else for Dan?
No. Well, I mean, just in terms of, you know, traveling down to Houston, what are some of the things that this is a young quarterback, very talented, they might get their number one receiver back. What are you looking at when you play Houston down there?
Man, this team is, I love the way this team plays. I mean, they play an aggressive style, explosive, fast type of football. And look, this quarterback, I think, has done an outstanding job. He's one of these really good young players in this league. I do think they're going to get Nico back. We're prepared for him. We're thinking he's coming back. He's outstanding. You know, this old line, there's been a little bit of, you know, they had some injuries here and there, you know, the scheme and the things that they're able to do up there, they can do a lot to you. And Mixon's playing a very high level. And then this defense, man, I mean, they hum now. They are smoking. They are up the field. They're aggressive. You know, they play a nasty style game. They finish on the football. It's going to be an all-out brawl, man, out in Houston, Houston, Texas on Sunday night. And, man, we're looking forward to it, man. This is one of those. Like I say, that's what excites you, man. Every week, you know, we just came off a big division win, and now we're rolling into another great opponent here in prime time Sunday night at their place. And, man, they play the style of football that we're looking forward to facing.
He's Lions head coach Dan Campbell. Dan, thanks for some of your time. Good luck this week.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
It's 97.1.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
As always, great to have Jared with us, and there's a lot to talk about, including the game this past Sunday, the game this coming Sunday. But Jared, as far as any trades, nothing is official, so I know you can't talk really in specifics. But in general terms, how do you feel when your front office goes out and makes a move to support the current roster?
Yeah, it feels good. It's exciting. Obviously, saw the news this morning that could be coming down the pipe here. And yeah, it's exciting. I think Brad and those guys have done a great job year after year around this time, making the move or not making the move and being patient. And you know, if we're able to make a move or two today, it'd be great.
player like this, it's been reported. Do you have a history with him in the past and how he has wreaked havoc on you as a quarterback in the league?
Yeah, I don't know who you're talking about, but, yeah, he's been giving me a hard time for a long time now.
You know, the fans take this as the Lions' windows right now, so they really want you guys to get super aggressive at the trade deadline. But, you know, you feel like you're playing at a Super Bowl caliber right now. Is this put pep in the step? Any move, any general move, put a pep in the step of the locker room that feels like this is some more fuel for us to get the job done?
Sure. I think anytime you're able to add good players who are hard workers, I don't think it matters at what position you do that at. It's good for the locker room. It creates competition. It obviously adds talent to the room. And yeah, we're always excited about that and looking for guys who want to help us win in whatever way they can.
With that said, this past Sunday, obviously you don't have Aiden. Pascal's out. Rodrigo's out. Branch gets kicked out. Carlton Davis leaves the field at one point injured. How is the defense like still getting it done with all these guys not being able to contribute?
Yeah, they're built for adversity. They are. We've been through a lot as a group. And I mean, go back all the way to 2021. There's a lot of the same guys in 2022. And, you know, we're built for it. And then certainly on defense with what AG is doing with those guys and some of the leaders they have over there doing a great job getting guys where they need to be. And I think guys are picking up the slack. They're playing at a high level. I mean, you look at some of these guys that are, you know, Jack Campbell, who's playing at a high level, Anzalone's playing at a high level, Jerem stepping in there when he needs to be. A lot of the guys up front, obviously the defensive backs are playing at a high level. I think Dan said it best when Aiden got hurt. You know, everyone needs to kind of shore up their own area a little bit and we'll be just fine. And it's not just on defense, it's all around. But certainly that defense has done a great job adjusting and being able to make plays without some of those guys, like you mentioned.
I mean, as a kid, I loved playing in a rainstorm or playing in the snow, but by the time I was a senior in high school, I hated playing in the rain. What about a 9-year NFL veteran? What was it like to play in that quagmire?
It was fun, man. It was cool. It was probably the rainiest, wettest game I've played in, but I felt prepared. I did. I felt like we were really prepared. We had practiced all week with the wet ball, and I felt good with the gloves. Our receivers felt good with their gloves, and I think it showed up. You know, they had a handful of drops. We didn't. They had some guys slip. We didn't. We were very prepared for the elements, and I thought our coaching staff did a hell of a job getting us ready.
Is that something new that you guys have worked on? Are you in your career with working with wet footballs to prepare for something like this? And, you know, did you do something with gloves all week too? Like, did you wear them around the house and carry things with a glove just to get used to it?
No, I didn't do that, but no, I think, you know, at some point, maybe halfway through my career, I found these gloves and they helped me. They feel good. And when it's rainy or you know, super duper cold, I'll pull them out and it certainly helps. And, but yeah, it was something that I feel like a tool for me to use if I need to. And I thought our receivers had their stuff ready as well. And, yeah, like I said, I think our staff did a great job preparing us for that. And Dan was very adamant about making sure we were ready for it.
It's pretty clear you guys fed off the, they're an outdoor team. They're an indoor team. They can't play outdoors. They can't play on the grass. I mean, this kind of stuff, even at this point in your career, it still gets you going, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been hearing it my whole life now. And so, yeah, it gets me going, certainly. And I think our whole team, and again, like, yeah, you know, we were pretty mistake-free on offense, and our defense did a good job, you know, getting after them. And I think the mistakes that showed up, you know, they certainly pivoted the game, and we were able to play pretty mistake-free and take care of the ball and hold it tight, squeeze it tight, catch the ball when it came their way. I was able to remain pretty accurate, and our O-line protected pretty well. So, yeah, all those things come into play when you play in weather like that, and I thought we handled it really well.
With that said, did you hear what one of their offensive linemen said after the game?
Yeah, I heard it. That's all right. You can say that. All good.
I was going to say, the comment about that they just that they're not the better team, they just executed better. Isn't that what the better team does? They execute
better?
Yeah,
that's all right. You know, they can say that. Yeah, they said they'll see us again, and whenever we play them again at home. And I said, that's right. We play you guys twice a year for the last however many years. You will see us again.
That touchdown pass to St. Brown, you're in the midst of this ridiculous streak where you've completed 30 straight passes to St. Brown. It's amazing. But that touchdown pass in particular, I think there are so many things about it that are ridiculous with the elements, the placement of the ball, the route that's run, because that's not a typical route you see in the corner. What to you was the best part of that play?
Yeah, I just think him and I being on the same page. He knew where I was going to throw it. I knew how he was going to react to the coverage, and then obviously his catch was pretty remarkable and getting his feet down in bounds. But it's not surprising for him. You know, he's that type of player. He's an all pro player. He's one of the best in this league, and feel like I can kind of throw it to him wherever with anyone on him, and he'll make a play.
You know, every time you guys go for it on fourth down, it like doesn't matter. The broadcaster is like, you know what's going to happen. You know the Lions are going to go for it. You know Dan Campbell's going to go for it. How much does it mean to you guys as an offense that he places that faith in you? And does he ever surprise you?
No, I'm never surprised at this point, no. And it means a lot. Yeah, we're ready to go, and we're geared up for it as part of our identity now. And when he puts that faith in us, we feel just that much more responsible to make him right. And you know, I always laugh, you know, now everyone's saying how good of a call that was by him, right? And if we didn't convert, you guys and everyone else, you know, no offense, would be probably tearing him down about it. And it's just funny how revisionist history works that way. And we're happy he's our head coach and makes those calls.
I think everybody wants to know if you're working on your headstand.
I'm not doing that. No, I don't think I've got strong enough neck muscles or trap muscles for that. I'll leave that to him.
Did you see him practice that at all?
No, I didn't. That was the first time I saw it. It's pretty cool, though. It was a good photo that came out of it, and it was funny.
Yeah.
You get back to an indoor surface on Sunday. You're at Houston. Jameson Williams comes back. Does he step right in and not miss a beat, or is there going to be a little bit of an adjustment period for him?
No, he'll step right back in and not miss a beat. I don't see any adjustment period, and he'll be right back doing what he was doing and helping us win.
In his absence, here comes Tim Patrick again. Here comes Allen Robinson again. Guys that were just brought into the organization. The relationship you have with these newer Lions, it seems remarkable that you're able to develop them that quickly.
Yeah, you know, I can't say enough good things about those two guys, man. It's really been cool for me to see, you know, two guys that are, you know, later in their careers that have had pretty significant success in their own right, to come into a team and to play a role that hasn't been typical of what they're used to, and to not say a word and to play hard and to love being a part of our team and to just fill in and do their job when needed. And, you know, trying to reward those guys with some more footballs, but they've been doing a hell of a job. They practice hard. They do everything right. They block their tails off, and we're lucky to have those guys filling in when we need them.
One final thing for me, and it's back to the Green Bay game, and this might be something, it might be nothing. You guys were taking a knee, and the cameras were zoomed in on you, and it looked like there was a lot of talking back and forth. Was that something significant at all, or was that nothing?
Yeah, that's when they said that they'd play us again later in the year, and we said, yeah, we know, we're in the division. We play you guys twice a year every year.
So you got Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter on the other side for Houston. It's quite a dynamic duo. They come after you. When you see something like that on the other side, how does that change your approach compared to other teams that don't have that kind of defensive presence?
Yeah, those guys are really good. You know, watching them early on this week, they've got a really good front. Obviously, D'Amico and his San Francisco background, that's what they do. They get really good defensive linemen, really good front seven, really good linebackers. And then they've got really good defensive backs, too. This is a good defense, and it'll be a good challenge for us, and it'll be fun.
Last one for me. Your running backs are spectacular. We know this. But which one's more fun to watch? The guy with all the speed or the guy who's breaking all the tackles?
You know, they both have speed and break tackles. You know, so I don't know which one you're talking about, but they're both fun to watch, man. It's such a luxury to have two guys that can kind of do it all, really. I mean, they both can catch. They both can break tackles. Like you said, they both are fast. They both are tough. They both are smart. Like, it's really remarkable to have two guys like that. And I think about sometimes when I'm, you know, dropping back and I don't have one, two, or three open, I'm able to check it down to them with space. It feels like, you know, such a good play for us, and it has been so far.
Does it make you feel like you're faster and you can break tackles?
No, nope. I'm not faster breaking tackles anytime soon.
Jared, we appreciate the time as always, and we look forward to talking to you next week. Congratulations on another big win.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, he is, Lions quarterback Jared Goff joining us every Tuesday here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
All right, 3 o'clock. Good to have you with us. So I want to ask you guys a question. Has it hit you as Lions fans? I was listening to Mike Tirico on the morning show today. Mike is a big P1 of both this show and the station, and he was talking with Cookies, and they were talking about Sunday Night Football, Lions, Texans, and talking about the game, and it starts to strike you a little bit. Now, you're not allowed to be offended at what I'm about to say. You're not. If you are, it's on you. We know the Lions are either the best team in the league or the second best team in the league. They are one of the league's elite. We've talked about it ad nauseum. The Lions are also living an incredibly charmed life, meaning seemingly every week you're playing these teams. You get the break you need. Their players are die, not healthy. You're good plus lucky. And it's the best blend because that's what it takes to win a Super Bowl. No one has won a Super Bowl absent of luck. It cannot happen. It does not happen. The best team I've ever seen play football didn't win the Super Bowl because they got unlucky. It's called the 07 Patriots. They got unlucky.
Was that the catch to the helmet?
Bubblegum.
Yeah.
So here's my question. It's 60 and sunny on a Thursday. Your football team is about to go to Houston. Doesn't sound like Nico Collins is going to play. Their offensive line is in tatters. And you guys are already, arguably in my mind, the best team in the league. It doesn't matter the rules of the NFL with games you're supposed to lose or games that are supposed to be tough. You defy all of it. I mean, at Minnesota, down 10-0, doesn't matter. We'll just rip off 21 in a row, and we'll kick a game-winning field goal and get the hell up out of here. Go to Green Bay in terrible weather, doesn't matter. They're all world centers out. We got a guard playing center, three bad snaps, and a quarterback on one leg and a brain-dead in INT. We got you covered. We'll blow their doors off. Now we're going to go to Houston. Forget about it. O-line's in tatters. Nico's out, and you're already going to score 30. Hell, you may put up 50. But my question is this. Has it hit you? The Lions are the best team in football. They're on Sunday Night Football, and it's not out of pity. It's not because of the other team. It's because of you. Mike Tirico saying people come up to him from other teams, and they associate Tirico correctly because he lives in the metro area. Your Lions, or man, they're good, or oh my God, what's going on up there in Detroit? Has it finally sunk in with you guys? Like, you're the team that gets to be the villains because you're awesome.
Yeah.
Flip off the crowd? Who cares? We're great. Run trick plays and rub people's face in doo-doo? Who cares? We can. We're awesome. Talk bleep? Doesn't matter. We back it up. Your coach is in TV commercials. He's the envy of the league.
Guys, right, my entire life, this team's been a punchline. They've been talked about for all the wrong reasons. Has it sunk in, or are you afraid someone's going to pull the trap door and you're going to go Kelsey Grammer offstage speaking? Kenny knows. I've shown him that clip. It's the funniest damn thing. Have you seen it?
Mm-hmm.
Kelsey Grammer delivering a speech. He doesn't realize he's at the edge of the stage. Ah! Dead. I want to know from Lion fans, because tomorrow it's more of a game conversation. Look at it. We're living a dream here, but are you enjoying it? Or are you still operating like Michael Myers is coming to stab you to death?
Well, think about this. When you watch national broadcast and they're arguing, who's the better team? Overall, in the football power rankings, the undefeated Chiefs or the Lions? And they're going back and forth. Like,
Lions minus 9.5. The Lions would blow the doors off the Chiefs.
You're just making this up, or is that like an actual line?
I'll do the alt line.
Okay.
The Lions would blow the doors off that team.
But that's a national argument.
I'm more afraid of the Ravens, if you want to know why.
Yes, I understand that. But it's the Chiefs haven't lost the game, defending Super Bowl champions, and you have people nationally saying, yep. Yeah, I know that's all. You know, that's all good and all. You might as well get Kanye up there. That's all nice and all. But have you heard about the Lions?
We may want to pick a different person.
Okay, you know. But yes,
he's
just talking about
some problems.
Few.
Just a couple. 248-539-9797. Here's another way of putting it. When are you losing again? I mean, think about it. I view the NFL through a way different lens because I've watched it for so long. And my team has been good at certain points, even though that feels like a lifetime ago. It just, you do lose games. And it's supposed to be hard. Not for this team. You've gone on divisional road games and largely dominated. Dominated. You destroy people. And right here, right now, like, oh, should they lose to Houston Sunday? Is that a baked-in loss? Well, they should. They won't. I'm not hopping in front of that train. I don't know when they're going to lose a game. Maybe they don't. But I want to know if it's really sunk in. Or are you still operating like Kenny? Scared. Are you operating in the, oh my God, I'm going to wake up from this and it's not real? Now, I said at the start of the year, I thought they were going to win the Super Bowl. Still feel that way. But it looks different than even I imagined. Mm-hmm. Right? I figured, hey, go 12-5. Win the division. We're good. This team might win 15 games, 14 games. Hell, maybe they just win every game. So has it sunk in?
Brother, the only game that I'm like, okay, this is probably, if you're going to lose a game, it's probably this one.
Hater.
You want to take a guess?
No. I'm done. They're winning every game forever. No, they're just, even when they're not great, the other team shoves their head up their ass. So it doesn't matter. You've become the Chiefs. The Chiefs are good, plus they get luck. That's you. Or when I was growing up, it was your cursed team with that putz Joe Montana. It didn't matter what the Niners did. It always went right. So that's you. You have arrived at Super Bowl greatness.
So they play coked out LT, but
it was Leonard Marshall. Listen, Roger Craig was the blame. You were trying to run the clock out and he fumbled. It's on him.
Mistakes were made.
No, we're not re-adjudicating the 1990 NFC Championship game.
No, I mean, I'm looking at their schedule. The only one I'm thinking like, you know what? Maybe you lose to get to Cookies 15-2 would be Bills? December 22nd at Chicago.
I'm not picking against them ever. I'm done. And I would love to know from the people, if you have arrived at this place where A, you know you're the best team in the league, and B, you know you're going to get whatever break you need. And maybe it's because you're that good, right? You create your own luck. But it's all going Honolulu blue right now. And I don't know when they're going to lose. I'm not picking them to lose Sunday. I'm not picking them to lose the week. I won't pick them to lose, period.
Okay, here you go. At Houston.
F it, 50.
Jacksonville here.
Win.
At Colts.
Win.
Bears on Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. Win.
Green Bay here.
Win.
Buffalo
win.
Here. At Chicago.
Win.
At the Niners.
Win.
Minnesota.
Win.
Now you're in the playoffs.
Win.
Okay.
Win.
All right.
Win.
Okay.
Championship parade. Right. I'm done. Because I've just seen what I need to see. When you go to Green Bay and do what you did to them in terrible weather, even with Goff wearing hamburger helper gloves, we're done here. I mean, at one point, the Green Bay Packers had more bad snaps than you had penalties.
Facts.
That's the stuff I watched for years the Chiefs do, or the Patriots do. How many times did we watch the Patriots during dynasty mode and you'd go, really? They're going to get that break? Oh, Brady's going to open the game and complete 13 straight passes? That's us. Mm-hmm. It's here now. It's happening.
Yeah. No, you're right. And I guess maybe we should have known from day one, first game, overtime, you win the coin toss, you win, you get the ball.
Why?
Because
things.
No, we should have known then. Like, yep, Matthew, you can go ahead and pack up your stuff. You're not getting this ball.
Do you? Are you aware of it? Are you? Has it hit you? You're not on Sunday Night Football as a pity party or a pinata. Your games aren't being flexed because of the other guy. People want to see you. People want to hate you. People want your downfall. Everyone's jealous of you. They're jealous of your coach. They're jealous of your players. They're jealous of how you play, both the brand, the toughness.
You don't do it with class.
F class. Overrated. Ask Michigan. The point is, it's everything. You are the Patriots dynasty mode right now. Or are you like Kenny? You don't want to allow yourself to enjoy it because you're scared.
No. What did I say? We talked about this already.
Kenny. You're talking.
What's that?
You're talking.
I know.
Your voice is back?
No, a little bit. It's really not.
Go ahead.
It's just fine. I said we would win the Super Bowl very recently on this show. So I don't want to hear about it. I think they are one of the best teams in this league.
The best.
Yeah, I said they would win the Super Bowl. They're the best. They are the best.
Thank you.
That is all. Now, please stop calling me the P word, okay?
I didn't. How dare you? That wouldn't be classy.
Seemed kind of like it.
Well, maybe a little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit.
It was an insinuation.
A little bit. A little bit. Catio. David, has it hit you? You're a hater.
I am.
But even you can recognize exactly what's going on here.
I can recognize it, and I'm going to put it on a personal level is how I can recognize it, is when my mom calls me after every Lions game and says, I watched again, and they won again. That is a sign to me on a personal level that they're real and they're back. Because she does not watch sports, but she's watching the Lions, and every week she wants to laugh at me and say, ha ha, they did it again. So, yeah, they're real. They are real.
But has it hit you?
It has.
They are the envy of the NFL.
It has. They are. When you're right, Rico, when they can debate it on national TV, national radio, that, wow, they are the best, and they're better than the KC, the Chiefs, and what?
David, because I expect everybody in Detroit to say, of course the Lions are better than the Chiefs, but I'm driving back listening and they are going back and forth like, guys, I know the Chiefs haven't lost a game, but are you watching what they're doing in Detroit and this team and how they're winning and they're destroying people and they're just, and it's like, yeah, running the trick plays and yes, then it's like they're embarrassing their opponents.
They'd put a hurting on the Chiefs.
But we just saw it before the trade deadline. A player openly wanted to be on the Detroit Lions. He wore their colors before his last game with the Browns. He tweeted about wanting to be here. He openly wanted to be a Lion. That was.
I mean, the last time I wanted to retire before becoming a Lion. I mean, the last time I saw something like that is when Reggie White said, "No, I want to go to Green Bay," and everybody said, "What?"
No, God told him that. He didn't make that choice.
Well, you know,
didn't he go in the media and say Jesus told him to go to Green Bay?
Well, after he consulted with him, yes.
Okay, no, I'm just trying to keep it factual. 248-539-97.
He said a lot of things that we probably can't say.
No, please tell us. Big yikes. Here's Rico.
You know what? How about no? All right.
You know, it's a big game when the Lions are on Sunday Night Football and you hear the voice of Mike Tirico. He joins us this morning. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, Jim. Good morning. John, good to talk to you guys.
Good morning. How about this? The Detroit Lions Number one seed as of now. What have you seen? What have you learned about the Lions throughout the course of this season?
Yeah, halfway champions, right? without a doubt in the NFC. It's pretty cool to watch and see, especially for the fans in the area who have sat through so many years of average to bad football. I've seen a team that can dominate at times, a team that has overcome the loss of their best defensive player, and a team that just is – John, I think they've done a rare thing. They've picked up where they left off. And you know better than Jim or I would, locker rooms change, the composition of the room, the team, those nuances. One, two, three, four players, it's different. But the ability to really pick up where they left off last year is maybe as much of a testament to Dan, Brad, culture, all those things that have made this run really good. And look, they look as good as anybody in the NFL right now heading into the second half of the season. There's a long, long way to go. But right now, they look as good as any team in the league. And we've seen probably all, not if not all, most of the good teams in person in the first half of the season.
Jared Goff's numbers over the last 6 weeks, 5 weeks, have been historic. Is it sustainable? And if not, what's the fallback? What should we expect from Jared Goff throughout the rest of the season?
I mean, you know, these numbers are insane, but I think they're real. I don't think it's a guy on a roll. You know, we're not on a heater at Vegas at 2 in the morning. I think this is legit, and I think it's because of the run game. You have such a physicality in the run game that passing the ball becomes a little bit easier. And when you are leading in games, passing becomes less predictable, right? So they've got that ability as well as anybody in the league. I think Kansas City, obviously, we've seen since they brought Kareem Hunt back, they have the ability to run the ball and run the ball effectively now. And their running game has been pretty good with their big triangle in the middle, the center and the two guards. Well, the Lions have a terrific offensive line. They're able to do the same thing. That just forces defensive backs to be less numerous, plain and simple, in the secondary. And the talent on the outside with using the running backs in the pass game and Laporta and Amon-Ra have been big. I think this is a big month or so for Jameson Williams. I really do. And look, the guy had obviously something not of his doing with the injury coming in. The gambling suspension was of his doing, but you understand that. This issue with the PED, two-game suspension, and the gun situation, which obviously has an impact his playing ability, but now there's three, four things on the list. He is surrounded by really good people from the top down, from Sheila to Rod, to Brad, to Dan, to the offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson, the team. It's a bunch of really good people. And it's a bunch of people you can learn from. And it's time. The guy's maturity, his ability's there. The maturity that everybody says is there has to be at a high level because his presence makes a huge difference in what this team can do in the last 2 months of the season. So as he comes back in the lineup, I hope he's energized. I hope he's excited. I hope he's learned from this, and I hope he is the guy who stands up and takes that next growth step here over the next couple of months on and off the field.
Talking to Mike Tirico, Sunday Night Football, Lions and Texans. As you can imagine, we come in on Mondays, and it's euphoria. They just win, and they win in different ways. It's special teams against the Titans. It's elements last week in Lambeau, and it feels like they're never going to lose a game. But can you tell us about the opponent in Houston and the team standing opposite?
You mean if they win, you're going to go to 16-1 now?
Yes.
Listen, in 2 weeks, you're out of runway, pal. Just so you know.
I appreciate professional heads up on that one.
Yeah. Can you count to one in the loss column? The Texans are good. We had them at Chicago week two. I've watched them a lot and watched them a bunch as we were preparing for the second week because it's not a team that I've seen a lot, so I've watched them a little bit more than most teams that we have early in the season and then watched them leading up to this. Right now, their offensive line is not good in key parts. Laremy Tunsil, their left tackle, is a very good player, has probably more penalties than the Texans would like to start the season, but left guard has been a turnstile, and it has really hurt this team. C.J. Stroud last year looked mature, confident, poised, This year, he looks more like a young quarterback who's running around. It's more Josh Allen 4 years ago, where he's got to survive to make plays here. The second half against the Jets, he was taking the snap and almost doing an immediate pirouette left for two reasons. Pressure, he's just trying to run away, find some place he could set up and throw. And nobody was winning in the secondary. And without Stephon Diggs and Nico Collins, this team is just not as good as they have been. And that's going to need to improve. Diggs not coming back. Collins will see us as we go through really today, getting a better sense if he's going to be a part of this or not for them. They hope to get some folks back up front. But right now, other than that, on the defensive side of the ball, this is a good test. And this is a team that has limited other good offenses. So I think it's a formidable challenge. They're building something down there that is not at the level of what Detroit has built right now, but it's pretty darn close. I love their coach, love his style, and I think this is not an easy out. This is the best team in this division that the Lions see, all four teams here in this stretch.
How big a deal is it to get Nico Collins back for this game for that offense?
It's big. It's so big. When you watch the game last Thursday night against the Jets, you can see nobody getting open. And then when you put on the coach's film, the All-22, the high angle, and watch it, there's no place for him to go. So, look, they can run the ball. I love Mixon. Joe Mixon's such a good, hard runner. And he's, like, running with an attitude after leaving Cincinnati, where he had 49 career touchdowns, and he's added a half dozen or so to that this year on the ground. Hard runner, hard to bring down. The Lions' quality and run defense will be tested by Mixon. But you've seen good backs this year already. He's 100 yards really in every game that he's been able to finish this year, except for one. We had him in the Chicago game. He ended up with one of those ankle sprains because of a hip drop tackle. But very good on the ground. They'd like to keep the ball for 30-plus minutes as well. You have two 30-plus minute time of possession teams. And I don't know what you guys have seen as you watch the league. If I had to give you a feel for the first half of the season overall, it's the return of the importance of the running game. I think we saw it a little bit last year. But teams are running the ball. No matter how many wide receivers you draft in your fantasy team, teams are turning around, handing the ball off. The good offensive line teams are the teams that are winning in the NFL. And give me play action. Give me something where my quarterback has some time and has some balance. The word balance gets thrown out in football. And sometimes we'll say, hey, balance. They've run it 25 times. They've dropped back 25 times. That's not balance to me. Balance is the ability to do both on your terms. Mm-hmm. And think about the Lions. They run it when they want. They throw it when they want. They are a balanced team. And I think we're seeing the good teams in the league are more balanced teams now than they were maybe 3-4 years ago.
You're in a very unique position, I think, to give us perspective on what the NFL thinks about the Detroit Lions. Because you live here. People know that you live in Southeast Michigan. And when you are, I don't know, in San Francisco, or you're in Seattle, or you're around everywhere else in the NFL, people will probably bring up, hey, how about those Lions? What is the perception after trying to throw the ball to offensive linemen in the Dallas game and somewhat running up the score, or the situation in Green Bay where Brian Branch has the personal foul, then he gives the double bird to the Packer bench and the fans? What is the perception of the Detroit Lions outside of Detroit?
Sure, yeah, it's a good question, John. It's funny because usually I'll get back Monday morning and be driving around and pop you guys on just to hear if Jim is the team going 18-1 or 19-1 or whatever.
He's getting sized for a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, whatever people mover he's on at the moment, right? You know, which, by the way, I love that nickname for the Lions offensive line, the people movers.
Yes.
I like that. It's cool. I'll give you a great example, Jim, and I won't name the coach and I won't name the player. But we do these production meetings. Our crew still travels in person to go meet with the home team, and we watch practice on Fridays of the home team, sometimes Saturday. So we're in back-to-back weeks a few weeks ago, and one was a player, one was a coach, and they were in cross-pollination mode. What do we mean? The team they were playing had played the Lions 2 weeks ago, or they were watching tape of the next opponent, and they had just played Detroit, right? And just randomly, without bringing them up, we go, hey, that Lions team is good. Hey, that offensive line for Detroit, hey, those running backs, man, St. Brown, man, that receiver's playoff. Different people have brought up different pieces of what the Lions do how they do it, how good a team. There's no secret. Last year, it was the great American love story in terms of an underdog football. We're all rooting for you. I think people are all rooting for Detroit and the Lions fans because they were exposed throughout last year, the playoff games, how incredible the fan base is. They've seen now how that Honolulu blue wave travels across the country and shows up and does the Detroit takeover of many of these road venues. So everybody's got all that, but now they're just good. Now they're just really, really good, and people get it and see it and know it, and it's definitely talked about in the league. If you ask people, hey, give me the couple of teams you've seen the first half of the year who were the best, it's going to be Kansas City and Detroit with very little excuses and very little yeah buts.
Mike, what's the presentation planned for Sunday Night Football? Is there a 19-1 people mover graphic? Like, how are you guys going to tell the story of this game? What should people look out for?
Good. We are. That's what our group meets to do yesterday and started to put those ideas together. And then I happened to where their conversation, our production folks ended up on ideas of yesterday, today. So I'll have a really good idea later today and tomorrow of some of the specific stuff. And we'll be talking to the Lions, obviously, during the week and get ready for all that. So those graphics, those neat things, they are being hatched last night and on into this morning. So we'll find that out when we all get on our call later today. I know we're all excited to see them. Haven't seen really, look, the start of this was when the Lions started to make the run a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. But the Lions had played, other than Thanksgiving, 15 1 o'clock Eastern games before the end of the Rodgers era at Green Bay game, right? That Sunday night where they knocked the Packers out and Aaron mm-hmm. walked off Lambeau for the last time. We've seen them six times in that interim, and our whole group is so excited. See, I think our only disappointment is that we're not here. One, because they don't get to come to the house and we make them a nice dinner, but we love doing games at Ford Field, and everybody will. And I'm just curious, guys, will the people who went out of their way to say, Detroit shouldn't have Thanksgiving football, why do we go there every year? This year, the Lions are the team that saved Thanksgiving in terms of football.
Yeah.
Because the rest of the schedule is Giants, Dallas, and then we're in Green Bay with the Packers are fine to see a Miami team that has been woefully, maybe the biggest disappointment of this year. The Lions will be the best team by far playing football on Thanksgiving. So will all the people who trash the tradition of Detroit and Thanksgiving football, will they come back and say, oops, thank God we have the Lions this Thanksgiving? Just a question to get a couple of weeks ahead of this.
Somebody admit they're wrong?
Never.
Come on.
We've got receipts, don't we? Right?
We do. And Mike, just want to get you out on this. If the Lions don't win the Super Bowl, is there an asterisk on the season because they don't have Hutchinson?
Oh, you're funny with an exclamation point.
Mike Tirico, Sunday Night Football. Well, we love it. Mike. Thank you for listening. Love having you on, and we'll talk soon.
You got it, guys. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the game. Look forward to listening to you guys on Monday.
All right, thanks. He's Mike Tirico, 97.1.
All right, Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. We're broadcasting live from the Michigan Association of Broadcasters Career Fair.
Glad that jerk finally left.
Dan Miller?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a very nice guy, is he? He's the greatest dude ever.
Four teeth to get the guy to talk.
Right?
Like, open up a little bit, Dan.
Yeah. We had to beg him to come over.
Come on.
Dan's the best. All right, so this game, Houston. For people who missed it yesterday, they went to social media late in the show. Well, they didn't time it up with our show, but we were late in our show when they announced that they had debuted their new battle red uniforms with the red chrome helmets, red head to toe. We get to see that monstrosity against our Lions, although you like the chrome helmets.
I love chrome helmets. Mm-hmm. I don't know why you don't like them. I think they're amazing. I loved it when, you know, Oregon's got like 10 different chrome helmets. I think it's awesome. I know you don't like the Michigan State ones because they look like Christmas tree ornaments. But I like the green. I think they could go with a darker green. It can go with a silver. I love the chrome.
I'm like, look, you're playing football. This isn't Battlestar Galactica, you know? Let's let's chill with the mirrored helmets.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, not my thing.
We need more of Penn State boring white. Yeah, let's do that.
You're damn right. Tradition right there.
Yeah, you and, you know.
Penn State's helmets are incredibly boring. But I'm not against alternate helmets. I think the chrome looks stupid.
Look, you love James Franklin. I get it.
Do I?
Yeah, you love James Franklin.
You're crossing a line now, big fella. Anyway, Texans 6-3. They moved a defensive tackle this week for a seventh round pick. They're a first place team. They're 4-0 at home. There have been times they haven't looked great this year. They got pounded by the Vikings. They lost to the Packers. And, of course, our division plays the AFC South this year. But in Houston, some of the talk and listening to them build up to this game, they are looking at this game as a measuring stick game. They are like, okay, we're playing the Lions. It's time to put our big boy pants on and find out how good we are, which is also refreshing to hear. But that's their approach towards this game this week.
That's what they're going to see the rest of the way. I think every team is going to look at the Lions game as a measuring stick game. Lions are class of the league. They're the best team in the NFC. They're arguably the best team in football. Why wouldn't you measure yourself against what the Lions do? And every game is going to be important for every team they play because they're all trying to make the playoffs. Nobody's running away with it. And, you know, the Lions have to be ready for that. It's a different game when you've got the target on your back as opposed to when you're chasing after something. But Dan Campbell's done an amazing job of keeping this team on the attack and on the hunt. They're not hunting the team that's behind. They're hunting a championship. And to get to that, you got to take care of everything on Sundays.
So Nico Collins likely coming back. He didn't practice yesterday, but he's been cleared to practice. I would be surprised if he wasn't at least limited today. But that's their guy. He's averaging over 17 yards a catch this year. But they also, with Diggs out, they still got John Metchie and Tank Dell. They're pretty good. So this will be a test for the Lions' pass defense.
Well, Tank Dell's the guy that's stepped up, and he's been better. Metchie has been, you know, I think he's going to go down as one of those guys that had amazing speed in college and did nothing in the NFL level. But he still has great speed. So if he gets the ball in his hands, look out. But they haven't done that with any kind of regularity. Nico Collins is a problem when he's healthy and when he's playing. You know, the running game with Joe Mixon is a problem. He's awfully good. And C.J. Stroud is, it's interesting because he's not the quarterback he was a year ago. I heard Mike Tirico talking about it with the morning show that this, he's playing more like a rookie quarterback than when he was a rookie. Because when he came in last year, it was unbelievable. You know, the success that he had throughout the season. The first half of the year, he was phenomenal. And then kind of settled down a little bit, but he was still playing at a high level. This year, he's not playing anywhere near that level. And I think a lot of that is the disruption they've had on the offensive line because it's not very good. But their defensive side of the ball can be scary. And we talked a little bit about it yesterday with, you know, are there protection issues with the Lions in terms of the pass game? Jared Goff has taken some hits the last few weeks. And you worry about that when you've got a team that has Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. And they've got other guys, too. But those are the main two guys that can get after the quarterback, and it's an awfully good tandem.
Yeah, Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter may combine for 30 sacks this year. They are going to challenge this Lions offensive line. And, look, the C.J. Stroud thing is weird, but he got sacked 8 times last Thursday night. 8! And by the end of that game, it felt like he was seeing ghosts, like he was reacting to pressure that wasn't there yet. Oh, it was coming, but I think he got a little bit shell-shocked. And quite frankly, they're probably looking at the Lions going, all right, this is a good game for us to play right now because with Aiden Hutchinson out and Za'Darius Smith still being onboarded, you know, how good is this pass rush? They probably actually relish a game against the Lions defensive front because they're without Aiden Hutchinson, and who knows what they're going to get out of Za'Darius Smith.
Well, if you're Houston, how do you attack it? Because you've got a good running back, but the Lions have always been pretty good against the run. And if I'm the Lions, I'm going to try to stop the run and try to force them to throw because I like our secondary. And if they're throwing a ball, you saw, you mentioned the 8 sacks. I don't expect the Lions to get anywhere near that total. But can they get a couple of sacks? Can they get consistent pressure? You know, if he's seeing ghosts like he did last week and he's rattled, take advantage of it. And the Lions have playmakers.
Did you see what he finished 11 for 30 in that game? 11 for 30. And you mentioned he wasn't the quarterback he was a year ago. Last year, C.J. Stroud threw 5 interceptions all season. This year, he's got 4 already. Last year, he got sacked 38 times all season. This year, he's been sacked 30 times already. So it is definitely a different C.J. Stroud experience when you're going up against them. Now, they can run it. Joe Mixon's a 100-yard back a game, and that's you're seeing more and more of this in the NFL now, and that is the return of the running back, and they got a good one at Mixon.
Well, they do, but I like the Lions. When they put Reader and McNeil out there on the field, it's awfully tough to run between the tackles with those guys out there. Getting Pascal back is going to help because he's very good as a two-way kind of player. And, you know, Zadarius Smith, we haven't seen him yet as a Lion, but we've seen him in other uniforms, and we know what a great pass rusher he is, but he's also pretty good against the run. So he's a guy that doesn't have to come off the field. He's not just a pass rushing specialist guy. He's that complete defensive end they're looking for.
So here's my question, because we saw the Lions last week really got down in the rain and the mud, and they mucked it up, no problem. Is whether or not this team, this Lions team, can win indoors?
Can they win in the controlled environment?
Can they win when the conditions are perfect?
Why didn't we ask Dan Miller that? Yeah, this is the way for the rest of the season. They have two outdoor games on the schedule, at Chicago, at San Francisco. Everything else, obviously, is at home, or you're playing indoors on the road. So this is what this is on Sunday night. I love that it's the big game Sunday night. I know Dan Campbell enjoys and relishes the big game and the atmosphere that can bring. When you're on the road, you got to really bring it, and I think that keeps his team on their toes and keeps them alert.
Oh, that's right. Two teams go to the middle of the field? You guys suck. All right, 5 o'clock, and here's my question. You're driving home on this gorgeous fall afternoon. People, the Lions are on Sunday night. It's a premium matchup. Here's my question. Do you even consider your opponent anymore? When you are looking at the Lions and the upcoming game, do you even factor in who you're playing? Does it even matter? I'm not being flippant, but this team makes it so that it doesn't matter. Oh, we're at Minnesota. Blobbity, blobbity, blah, dead. At Green Bay, bad weather. Green Bay, probably a spot you're going to lose, dead. You're at Houston. Are the Lions at a point now? Rico, you could speak to it a little bit as a Niner fan. Your team has had some great seasons. The Patriots used to be this way. I think the Chiefs are this way. I do.
Yeah.
I think the Chiefs get up for like one game a year, and it's if they play the Bills. Everything else is a business trip, and they just do their damn job.
You know why that's true for the Chiefs? Because most people don't realize they're still undefeated. Because they struggle through games, but they're almost sleepwalking. Like, okay.
But like as a fan, yeah. I approach things different. And I have said this before. I think part of whether it's this job, if you're on television, you write for a newspaper, you do radio, skepticism has to be baked in. Otherwise, I don't think you can be very good at your job. I think otherwise you're just a propagandist or a content manager. You have to be skeptical. That's part of what fans don't usually do. And no, I'm not saying that's a service you provide. It's just this idea of, hey, try to at least bring reality. But sometimes teams violate that.
Mm-hmm.
Like an example for me, take it when it comes to basketball. I don't care who the Celtics are playing. It doesn't matter. It means nothing. If they're on their game, they will win. Period. Amen. Hallelujah. That's it. So it's the same deal with the Lions. If they're on their game, I've arrived at a point now after last week against Green Bay, I no longer care.
Mm-hmm.
Football, the breakdown, the handicap, the historical trends, the way the league works, the Lions just go double birds to all of it. It doesn't matter. If they play well, they win. Is that where we've arrived at?
No, I think we have, because that was me just talking to myself after the Packer game. I was like, there was everything about this game said that they were supposed to lose.
Correct.
And not only did they win, they jumped out and they kind of said, Green Bay, you know what? You're at home. Score a couple touchdowns.
Here's some pity. Get right. to double figures.
When their crowd is leaving and you're like talking to Dan Miller, he's like, yeah, for years, no matter that, you know, they would be up by 40 points and their crowd stayed the entire game.
Great job by me. Take your hillbilly asses home. Lomas?
And yeah, now I was like, you know what? I don't think I can pick against this team.
No.
Because it has reached that point. It doesn't matter. It's almost like, yeah, that team
when it's the Niners back when they were really good and yep. it didn't matter, or the Patriots, or like you look at Alabama, like Kenny a few years ago with Georgia football. Who are you playing?
Doesn't matter.
We're going to win by 21 anyway.
248-539-9797. And look, I'm not asking you to feel one way or the other. I'm asking how you feel. I'm asking if you've arrived at this point that you've never been at before as a Lions fan. You're on Sunday Night Football at a playoff team, and it doesn't even matter anymore. I don't even have to put any effort and handicap in the game. Why? Because none of the rules apply to you. If you play your game, you win.
And it goes to what you – it's funny because listening to you, and I do listen to you when it comes to gambling. I really do because, you know, I like to give you a hard time.
It's just numbers, right? It's fun. It's data.
But everything about this, okay, if the Lions are so good, why are they only favored by 3.5 points? And this Houston team is struggling. They're missing some players. Mm-hmm. It looks like a trap until they play the game, and the Lions will go out there and win by 17 points.
I've bet against them twice this year. I took Minnesota and I took Green Bay.
Me too.
Both games I was sitting there going, why did I just not go team A better than team B, F you? That's what it comes down to.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're the best coach team in the league. All three phases work together and none of the rules apply.
Even when they do and make mistakes and do dumb things, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Okay, we went for it on fourth down on our own territory early in the game. We still won.
Right.
Okay, we fumbled the ball.
Who cares?
They still won.
We'll figure it out. But look, it's the mark of a great team. So I just want to know if you've arrived at that point as Lions fans. Kenny, go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, as the Lions fan on the show, I think I can clear this up by saying one thing. Two things can be true. Exactly. Both things can be true, Mike. You can be in a situation where you go in every week and say, we can beat this team because that's where we're at right now. But this is the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Anything can happen.
See, I don't think you can use that phrase anymore. Because, Kenny, there is a time when your team is so good, doesn't matter. You're going to win. You're going to be the best team on the field. You'll find a way to get it done. And people are going to hate you for it.
I mean, I'll give you an example, right? Between Rico and I and even David, right? Super Bowls, we've seen what greatness is in a way Lion fan hasn't. And that's why I think we collectively would like that for our audience, because you deserve it. But understand, I never arrived at a point with my team in any Super Bowl season where it was like this. Yes, the Giants have won Super Bowls. We lost games along the way. We played close games. We got blown out. I mean, the Giants in 07 were a 500 team. You know, even in 08, I was at a point before Plax decided, gun, sweatpants, bar. The Giants were getting to a point in 08 where I went, wow, we're going back to back. This team's going to do this. And then Plaque shot himself.
Right.
I digress. That was the one time in my life where I went, we're killing people.
See,
but overall, like, Rico, you know it. It's the NFL.
But, Mike, here's the thing. Even back in the 90s when it was always the NFC title game, it was going to be San Francisco and Dallas. And that's who's going to the Super Bowl. The season didn't matter. It was just you wanted to get the home game and make the Cowboys come to you.
Yeah, it felt like Alabama or Georgia.
Yeah, it was like the season didn't matter. It was all about that game, but it was still one team. I don't see that team for the Lions where you're like, you know what? I know all of this stuff is great, but we're circling this game. There's no circle game for the Lions. Every game is just we're better than you. Great game for us. You guys suck.
Right. There's just a focus with this team and like, oh, they're on the road again. Who cares? Oh, well, this team's matchup. The matchups don't matter.
Oh, it's raining.
Doesn't matter.
Oh, Aaron Glenn needs to get his glasses cleaned off.
Doesn't matter. He's calling defenses. The page looks like hieroglyphics because of the raindrops. Doesn't matter.
He's out there like, well, do they have 15 people on the field? Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
See, it's funny you say that because the Texans announced that the stadium's going to be open. And I would imagine they're thinking, this is going to hurt the Lions. They play in an actual dome. They don't usually play out, but it doesn't matter. Nothing matters against the Lions.
Well, yeah.
And I joked with Kenny before the show. I was having fun with him. You know, I'm always upset about the Lions, and I always mess with them. But I think it's true. When you look at their schedule, you're right, Rico. I don't really see anything that scares me. I think right now the only thing that could beat the Lions are the Lions.
That's right.
They start making mistakes, okay, then you lose. But as long as they keep everything in front of them, they beat the Titans, and I know the Titans aren't great. They didn't do anything offensively, and they scored 52 points.
Beating the Titans was the equivalent of the group project, and all you had to do was sign your name, and you got the A. You knew you didn't do nothing, but didn't matter. We got the A. The only game to me is maybe at Chicago, because it could be just like, you know, zero and the wind blowing around. That's it. And if that's your second loss of the season, it doesn't matter.
I mean, I look, I'm normally the guy who would just be like, look, they'll go 13-4 or 12-5, win the division, you know, be the one seed, and that's fine. I'm at a point now, if you told me to end up 16-1, what am I going to tell you? Because it's a combination of them being a dominant force, great coaching, great players, and also every break goes their way. So that is a really hard combo to fight, and I'm not fighting it. Yeah. I picked them to win the Super Bowl in August now, so I'm not bleeping all over them here. They're fantastic.
And the catching every break thing, that's real, and that's not to take away. Look, you can't apologize for who you play on the field. You just got to go out there and win. But, man, it's just like, oh, you're missing this. You're missing six starters. You're missing both tackles. The other team is missing so many different pieces. Your quarterback's on one leg.
And then they go out and kill him. And that's the mark of a great team. Yeah.
We're not going to make this close.
I mean, like, you
don't take it personal.
I was talking earlier this morning. I'm like, I watched Thursday Night Football last night. And as great as the Ravens offense can be, I'm going, Goff will throw for 400 yards against these idiots. They can't cover us all. Joe Burrow's thrown for 400 yards and he has no time to throw. Jared Goff will have all day. So, I mean, it just gets to a point. I've said this to you. I would love to see the Chiefs. I think this Lions team would hit the Chiefs with a garbage can.
And it's funny because I think the Ravens are built. That's the one team I don't think Detroit wants to play, is the Ravens.
I think the Ravens present a better total package than the Chiefs because there is explosiveness to the offense and verticality, and they have playmakers in more spots. Look, the bottom line is the Ravens have the worst pass defense in the league, and you're going to go against Ben Johnson? Ben Johnson, it'll last more than 6 hours. If he sees the Ravens with 2 weeks to plan, they're going to have to take him to the ER. He'll have no blood in his legs.
And yeah, what, Hamilton is out for a while?
Yeah.
But once again, you know what? That means they're going to be playing the Ravens in the Super Bowl.
That's right.
No Kyle Hamilton.
And again, the Lions have had some injuries of their own, but it's like once you get a month past when a player dies, that's done. I'm talking in real time, week of game. Look at the injury report now. Will Anderson's not going to play in the week that you don't have Taylor Decker. Perfect offset.
I'll rigor Chipotle because when Hutchinson went down, I'm like, are they going to lose a game or two, Rieger? He's like, no, they're not. I was like, okay. And yeah, he wins because they haven't. They haven't missed a beat.
We'll get to your phone calls coming up in a minute. 248-539-9797.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90+ days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.